Okay, hello guys. Today we're going to talk about the endocrine system and what's going to be on the NCLEX about it. So let's get to it. The first one we should know is about hypoglycemia and hyperglycemia. I'm just going to say the symptoms real quick because I'll go over it more with the diabetes section I'll be covering later on in another video, not this one. So hypoglycemia, the common symptoms are cold and clammy skin. The patient becomes irritable, they become weak, and they become diaphoretic. They also look pale. For hyperglycemia, the patient has the three P's, so it's polyphagia, polyuria, and polydipsia. Their vision also becomes blurry, and they have fruity breath. Alright, so now let's go to the main ones we gotta know. So to start off, let's go over cortisol, which is the hormone which regulates stress. And hypocortisol, we also know it as Addison's disease, which is caused by stress, infection, or any major surgery. This can lead to hyponatremia, hyperkalemia, hypoglycemia, and shocked. Some common signs and symptoms include lethargy, fatigue, muscle weakness. Most important one is weight loss, and hypotension, and hypoglycemia. Some important nursing interventions to understand would be that we want to replace salt, sugar, and they're going to be prescribed pretty much glucocorticoid therapy for pretty much the rest of the life, and which will be steroid replacement. And we also want to support the psychological function. And pretty much just monitor their weight, because the difference between hypercortisol and hypercortisol will be their weight. So moving on to hypercortisol, the major signs symptoms of hypercortisol will be muscle weakness and obesity. So like I said, in hypocortisol, which is low cortisol levels, you'll see the patient very skinny and weak. In hypercortisol, which is also known as Cushing's syndrome, the patient will be more bulky, more obese. Okay, so things to watch out for will be hyperglycemia, hypertension, fragile skin, bruises, and also another good important sign and symptom to know will be a moon face. Okay. And the nurse's priority interventions will be to monitor the intake and output, and of course weights. So that's only for cortisol right now, hypo and hypercortisol, which can also be known as Addison's disease and Cushing's disease. Let's move on to thyroid. So for hypothyroid, the T4 is low and your TSH is high. Some common symptoms will include lethargy, fatigue, weakness, bradycardia, constipation, and the most famous of all, a goiter. Hypothyroidism can also lead to something called myxedema coma, which is caused by the low thyroid production, which is it's just not producing any thyroid hormone. Medication that's mostly prescribed to these types of patients with hypothyroidism will be levothyroxine, which is pretty much prescribed for them. Moving on to hyperthyroidism, their T3 and T4 are high, but unlike the hypothyroidism, the TSH is low. This results in a thyroid storm, which increases their fever, their temperature, their heart rate, their blood pressure, and the respirations. So pretty much everything is just high for hyperthyroidism. We pretty much see fine tremors. We see weight loss due to all the high fevers and all the high temperatures and respirations. We see cardiac arrhythmias, which is an important indicator to keep on the lookout. And we also see palpitations, and the patient could be confused, and it could also result in seizures, delirium, and coma. So that's for hypo and hyperthyroidism. Moving on to parathyroidism. So hypoparathyroidism. On the signs and symptoms will be hypocalcemia, hyperphosphatidemia, tingling, muscle cramps, and the positive Strauss and Chowak sign. And pretty much on nursing intervention for hypoparathyroidism would be the calcium gluconate due to the low calcium levels they're getting. And with calcium, you also want to introduce vitamin D in order for absorption and enhancement. And moving on to hyperthyroidism, we see patients with hyperkalemia, so the calcium is high now, and low phosphate, so low hypophosphatemia, fatigue, muscle weakness. We see bone deformities due to the low calcium levels, anorexia, nausea, vomiting, and hypertension. And here the opposite, instead of calcium gluconate, we prescribe instead calcitonin in order to increase the calcium in the body. And moving on to the next hormone, which is ADH, which is produced by the posterior pituitary, which is a regulation of the water. And I think it's produced by the pituitary gland. This is the main hormone for diabetes insipidus. So if you have hypo ADH, which is low ADH, you pretty much have diabetes insipidus, or the patient has diabetes insipidus. This will result in an increase in output of H2O. So the patient is pretty much just urinating and they're just polydipsia because of all the urine. And that means they're at risk for becoming dehydrated. And we must monitor the electrolytes, and we want to increase the fluid intake, as well as monitoring the eyes and nose. We want to weigh the patient and check the urine specific gravity, which would be low because of all the urine being excreted, which would be a positive sign of diabetes insipidus. As for the opposite, when we have too much ADH, so hyper ADH, will result in syndrome of an inappropriate antidiuretic hormone secretion, so pretty much SIADH, or SIADH. This results in the inability to excrete water, with a lot of swelling, a lot of weight gain, hypertension, tachycardia, water intoxication. And when there's too much water in the body, of course, we can have some neural problems. So it's important to monitor the neural status of the patient, monitor the eyes and nose, monitor the weight, the serum osmolality, and also the urine-specific gravity. We want to restrict fluids because they're retraining so much fluids. We want to administer diuretics if prescribed. We want to offer those seizure precautions due to the risk of having neural problems. Now moving on to insulin, which is produced by the pancreas, also another important one. I'll talk a little bit about it, but I'm gonna go more in depth in the other video, which I mentioned before. So in type 1 diabetes, the the insulin, it's insulin deficiency. So pretty much insulin's not given, and the beta, and it's just, and it's due to the beta cells being destroyed. So pretty much this results in fats being metabolized and being used for energy. So it's the whole glycolysis process, and your glucose, it wouldn't be taken in by the cells, which will result in ketones being formed, which can result in acidosis. As for type 2 diabetes mellitus, insulin's being produced, however, cells aren't taking in insulin. So it's pretty much a resistance to insulin. And this could also result in diabetes and that diabetic ketoacidosis. It's important to monitor the signs of hyperglycemia, which is the three P's: polyphagia, polyuria, polydipsia. And also monitor the neural status of the patient all the time. In case a patient has hypoglycemia, so it's low sugar in the body, it's important to prescribe some fast-acting carbohydrates, which these include like orange juice, simple, I want to say snacks, because a simple high carbohydrate or protein snack would help the patient regain their regular blood glucose levels. So pretty much just give them a or any type of fruit juice, sugary juice, to start them off, or 10 or 15 grams of a carbohydrate, a protein bar or something like that. Any another thing we want to know from the endocrine system is something called metabolic syndrome, which metabolic syndrome is just a term used when a patient is present with three of the following factors, which a patient is at risk for having a stroke. That's one of the first risk factors. The patient has diabetes, and the third one is the patient has any type of cardiovascular disease. So if a patient has those three types, the risk of stroke, the risk of stroke, they have diabetes or have cardiovascular disease, they are considered to have the term metabolic syndrome. Other symptoms or other signs and symptoms or observations you'll see with these types of patients is that they're obese, they have high triglyceride levels, and they have low HDL levels. They're hypertensive, of course, and they have fasting blood sugars greater than 5.6 because they're diabetic, of course. But that's what describes metabolic syndrome. Some important things to understand in the NCLEX would be that they would mostly go over any types of symptoms. So go over the symptoms of these types of diseases, and also know their priorities and interventions. Other than that, guys should be okay with the NCLEX. So let's see. Let's give a few examples of practice questions regarding the endocrine system. So, the first question would be: the nurse is caring for a client after a thyroidectomy and notes that the calcium gluconate is present and notes that calcium gluconate is present for the client. The nurse determines that this medication has been prescribed for which reason? A, treat thyroid storm. B, prevent cardiac irritability. 3, treat hypercalcemia tetany. Or D, stimulate the release of parathyroid hormone. The correct answer here is C, which is treat hypocalcemia tetany. This is because hypocalcemia usually develops after a thyroidectomy. Any manifestation can develop 1 to 2, 1 to 2, 7 days after the surgery. And if the client develops any numbness, tingling around the mouth, fingers, or toes, or has muscle spasm or twitching, the healthcare provider should be notified immediately. Calcium gluconate should also be given or should be assessed to the client who underwent a thyroidectomy due to the decreased calcium levels, which could follow. The second question will be, is the nurse collecting data regarding a client after a thyroidectomy and notes that the client has developed hoarseness and a weak voice? Which nursing action is appropriate? A, check for signs of bleeding. B, administer calcium gluconate. C, notify the registered nurse immediately. Or B, reassure the client that this is usually a temporary condition. The correct answer here is D, reassure the client that this is usually a temporary condition. This is because weakness and hoarseness of the voice can occur as a result of trauma of the laryngeal nerve. When this happens, the nurse should reassure the patient that it is totally common, and it's important to educate the patient. Moving on to next question would be, is a client is admitted to the emergency department and a diagnosis of myxedema coma is made, which action should the nurse prepare to carry out initially? Warm the client. That's A. B, maintain a patent airway. C, monitor intravenous fluids. Or D, administer thyroid hormone. The correct answer here is maintain a patent airway. So always remember your ABCs. The initial action the nurse should do is maintain the patent airway. Oxygen will be administered as following fluid replacement. And the nurse should also keep the client warm and monitor IV fluids and administer any thyroid hormones. Moving on, the nurse is assisting with preparing a teaching plan for the client with diabetes mellitus regarding proper foot care. Which instructions should be included in the plan of care? Okay. A, soak the feet in hot water. B, avoid using soap to wash the feet. C, applying a moisturizing lotion to dry feet, but not between the toes. D, always have a podiatrist cut your toenails. Never cut them yourself. The correct answer here is C, applying moisturizing lotion to dry feet, but not between the toes. The client should use moisturizing lotion on his or her feet, but should avoid applying the lotion between the toes. The client should also be instructed to avoid any hot water to prevent burns. They're allowed to cut their nails across, and they should also wash their feet daily with mild soap. Alright, we're on to the next one. The nurse provides dietary instructions to a client with diabetes mellitus regarding the prescribed diabetic diet. Which statement made by the client indicates the need for further teaching? A, I'll eat a balanced meal plan. B, I'll need to drink diet soft drinks. C, I need to buy special diabetic foods. Or D, I will snack on fruit instead of cake. The correct answer here is C. I need to buy special diabetic foods. It's important to emphasize to client and family that they are not eating a diabetic diet, but rather following a balanced meal plan. It's important to adhere to the nutrition principles of the diabetic management, and the client should plan to develop their own meals. It is also it's not necessary for a client to purchase specific diabetic foods, because who buys that? There's no such thing as a diabetic meal, and if there is, they're probably getting ripped off. So remember for the client to never drink soft any reduce the drinks of sodas, of soft drinks. They should plan their own meals, and they should snack on fruit instead of cake, which just don't eat refined carbs. I'm going on to the next one. A client who has been newly diagnosed with diabetes mellitus has been stabilized with daily insulin injections. Which teaching information should the nurse reinforce upon discharge? A. Keep insulin vials refrigerated at all times. B. Rotate the insulin injection sites systemically. C. Increase the amount of insulin before unusual exercise. D. Monitor the urine acetone level to determine the insulin dosage. The correct answer here is B. Rotate the insulin injection site systemically. Which insulin dosage should not be adjusted or increased before unusual exercise? Of course, we all know that. If acetone is found in the urine, it means that we need more insulin. Insulin should always be given at room temperature, and it's also very, very important to rotate injection sites. Okay. Let's see. Last one here. Let's do one select all the apply. The nurse educator is asking the nursing student to recall the signs and symptoms of hypothyroidism. The nurse educator determines that the student understands this disorder, if which are included in the student's response. So to select all the apply. So number one, dry skin. Number two, irritability. Number three, palpitations. Number four, weight loss. Number five, constipation. Number six, cold intolerance. So the signs of hypointolerism are dry skin, constipation, and cold intolerance. So signs and symptoms of hypothyroidism include dry skin, hair and loss of body hair, constipation, cold intolerance, lethargy, fatigue, weakness, muscle aches, paresthesia, weight gain, bradycardia, puffiness, and edema around the eyes and face, forgetfulness, menstrual distributions, and cardiac enlargement, and of course a goiter. Okay. Signs of hyperthyroidism were irritability, palpitations, and weight loss. Well, that's gonna be it for today's video. I'll come back with another different video regarding maybe the immune system or diabetes. See you in the next one.